This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. This program's your connection to local music, and we should have a fun show for you today. A couple of trombonists, Jim Pugh and Eijiro Nakagawa, who together form a band, or part of a band, called E&J, and they, with their band, are going to be performing at the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock. They're both on the show today with their trombones and also with some recordings of the band. We'll have conversation and a lot of playing this hour on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Music by John Adams called Prelude. No, sorry, that would be the Leonard Bernstein piece I didn't play. Lollapalooza is played by the New World Symphony and conducted by Michael Tilson Thomas, is from a disc called New World Jazz, appropriately enough, that has some of the famous tunes you'd expect if you're going to have a classical slash jazz disc, Rhapsody in Blue, and the Bernstein piece I tried to give credit to, Prelude, Fugue, and Riffs, also the ballet of Darius Milhaud, The Creation of the World, Stravinsky's Ebony Concertos. There's been a lot of music in the last number of decades, quite a number of decades now, that have tried to fuse classical and jazz. And we actually have on Live and Local today on FM 90.9 a couple of composers, performers, who play both classical and jazz, and I imagine do a little bit of fusion of the genres now and then. Jim Pugh is on the faculty at the University of Illinois currently. He's done many, many things before getting here. He is in the jazz faculty here in Urbana. And his friend Eijiro Nakagawa is a younger fellow who is from Japan, and we'll find out how they hooked up at some point, but they're both wonderful trombonists who have worked together both simply as trombonists and also in this band called E&J, which is going to be performing at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana tomorrow night at 5 o'clock. That's the occasion of their appearance today. We've got them for the hour in conversation, and they both brought their horns and also a couple of discs of the band. So thank you both for coming in.
Great. Good to see you again, Kevin.
Yeah, Jim was on the show, I don't remember how many weeks ago, talking about some of the upcoming gigs at that point of some of the combos from the U of I, quite a jazz program that has been developing in the last number of years.
Yeah, it's really pretty exciting how fast it's grown and how strong it's become. I mean, the Concert Jazz Band, which is like the sort of the flagship ensemble of the jazz program, is running around to various festivals and winning, I'm sort of reticent to say this. You don't really think of jazz or music as a competitive sport, but they do have these festivals where first place and all that kind of stuff are given, and the band's been pretty universally like coming home with lots of honors, and it's really quite thrilling.
Well, there are a lot of competitions. I mean, usually think of them in high school. At least I do, since I work with a lot of kids, and you always hear about either the concert bands or the jazz bands going to some contest or another. So why wouldn't college bands do the same thing?
Same thing.
Yeah. Well, we ought to have symphonic competitions. That would be sort of a different thing to do. They've had a symphony bowl right around Super Bowl time. I think, I don't know if NPR does that. We've aired that a couple of times, but they just make a joke out of that. But in any event. So how did you and Eijiro come together? How did you discover each other?
Well, a number of years ago, a mutual friend of ours a trumpet player by the name of Lou Soloff, who some people may remember from Blood, Sweat, and Tears, like the real famous Blood, Sweat, and Tears band back in the late 60s, he had like that amazing trumpet solo on Spinning Wheel, and I think it was a chart, Lucretia McEvil, that he had big solo things on for in the rock and roll world. He tours a lot in Japan and had gotten to know Eiichiro, and I worked with him a lot in New York. And from him having heard Eiichiro's playing and everything, he felt the two of us should at least meet. And actually, foolishly on his part, it suggested that Eiichiro should maybe contact me about taking some lessons or something. And Eiichiro, once we finally exchanged some emails, Eiichiro sent me a CD that he had made when he was, I guess, 15 years old. And, it scared me half to death. So I said, well, this precious little I could teach you, but let's form a group. Let's have some, go play some music. And we did one gig at the Blue Note in New York City. That was sort of the opening salvo. But we played a bunch of stuff from the Kai Winding and J.J. Johnson, had a trombone duo in the 50s and 60s. It was pretty famous. And sort of the model for any of the trombone duo with rhythm section things sort of come out of that original model that they sort of did so beautifully. But we played basically their material, and then after we had such a good time that it's okay, well, let's not do that anymore, but let's start writing our own things and try and keep this going.
Jim Pugh here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. And Eiichiro Nakagawa is also a trombonist. And I'm looking at your bio here, and it seems you've been playing since you were five.
Yeah.
And your dad had a band as well?
That's my father that played Dixieland jazz. So on that I played it with him. And it's been when I started the trombone, it's my father played it, the Sing 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 of the Benny Goodman tunes. And I saw in the trombone, it's the first several, the bar, it have really good, the phrase, I really want to play this. So I started the trombone.
So your dad was trombone?
No, trumpet player.
He was trumpet player, yeah. But it was from this Benny Goodman tune
that played it.
So whoever the trombonist was, who was the trombonist in the band at the time, do you know?
I don't know. I didn't remember that. But it's some of his band, the trombonist.
But it was your inspiration.
Yeah,
so you want to find out who this guy was.
Yeah. I don't know why. I played it, the cornet when I was three, to just little played it, but I changed to the trombone, switched to trombone when I saw and really impressed from the Sing Sing Sing.
I think it's sort of strange to hear you say that I picked up the cornet when I was 3 years old and then the trombone when I was 5 years old. And around here, people might pick up the cornet or the trumpet at the very earliest when they're in third grade.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe really start when they're in fifth grade. So you had a way head start. How on earth did you decide to even pick up a cornet just because your dad was playing and you wanted to imitate?
Yeah, my father, every time that's arranging in our home, and I just play with his arrangement. It's it's just a hobby. It's not just studying. It's just just for fun.
And is he still playing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jazz is pretty big in Japan, isn't it?
Yeah, it's getting small, but they still exist. Really,
so
great player is here.
So it's getting less big than it used to be.
It's getting less. Mm-hmm.
That seems to be. Is that true? Would you all say that's true, Jim, in the United States? I mean, that would be my impression. That sort of some of the classical music arts, that classical music being one of them, and jazz, sort of ironically being another. Or not?
Yeah, it's, well, for some reason, what gets classified sort of as pure jazz, I think, has always been a little bit of it's been a difficult thing to sell. And I'm not sure why, considering it comes out of the American tradition. I mean, just if you look at our country's formation, everything, just it's all been about improvisation. Whether it's a creating a new government or whether it's building railroads or whatever it is, it's always like a highly improvisational aspect to the country building. It would seem to follow that an improvisational music would become more acceptable to the, you know, the public, but it's never really been that way. I mean, it was, if you think of when it was really popular, a lot of the popularity had to do with the fact that it was connected to being dance music. You know, if you look at all the popularity of the big bands in the 40s and not so much in the 50s, a little bit in the 50s, but look at all the bands that were, but they were all basically for people to go out and dance and have social interaction. You know, it's a little bit trickier when you have people sitting down in a seat in a concert hall listening, you know.
When they're usually not encouraged to get up and dance at that point.
Yeah. Every once in a while, people do anyway, but it's, you know, once it left that world, and whether that gets classified, whether the Tommy Dorseys and the Glenn Millers get classified as jazz is up for all the, you know, various debates. There were other big bands that were more improvisational, more jazz-like. But even if you look at the Ellington Band, the Basie Band, that were highly respected bands creatively and musically were also dance bands. I mean, Ellington was playing the Apollo Theater and people were going, you know, crazy. I think once that changed, it probably, and the dance music moved on to a different kind of dance music once it went to, you know, rock and roll and the things that came from that and where that's gone. It's still hugely popular, but it's all about dance and about young people's, you know, social interaction.
Adrenaline and hormones.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we promised folks some music on the show today, a lot of music on the show today, so we might as well get started. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and with us today on the show, Jim Pugh and Eijiro Nakagawa. Jim is resident here at the University of Illinois. Eijiro is a visiting guest, and they work together both as a duet and also in the band E&J, which is going to be in Urbana tomorrow night at the Iron Post. It's in downtown. Iron Post very regularly has music, which is a wonderful thing. That's at 5 o'clock. Would you like to start with some playing or something from the disc?
Well, we do something from the disc because the first thing we're going to play, like a little bit of explanation for your listeners about it. But
so this is the band E&J. So it's the two of you, a double front trombone fronted band. And who else is in the band on this recording? We're going to hear a tune called Scramble.
See, on piano is a wonderful pianist from New York, or the whole rhythm section is from New York, by the name of Andy Ezrin. Is the pianist. The bass player is one of the really big, famous younger bass players. Played with Chick Corea for a number of years. And now plays with Wayne Shorter, by the name of John Patitucci. And a beautiful drummer by the name of John Riley, who plays with the Vanguard Orchestra and many, many things in New York.
So the band E&J playing a tune called Scramble. Is this of whose composition?
This is
Eijiro's composition.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. By the way, he wrote this when he was 15 or 14, actually.
We have a serious prodigy in this room.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. tune called Scramble by Eijiro Nakagawa, performed by the band called E&J, which features Eijiro Nakagawa and Jim Pugh. That's the E&J, and a number of other New York performers. And the band will be at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana tomorrow night at 5 o'clock. And in the studio with us on Live and Local right now are E&J. How did you guys decide to form this particular band?
How did we decide to form?
Or at least, how did you form it? When did you form it?
Well, what was it 2002? 2001? No,
2003. Yeah. 2003,
okay.
Some
2000
or another.
Yeah, it was sometime this century. It started out, like I said, gradually. I mean, we started out just doing that one Sunday brunch at the Blue Note in New York, and like I said, had such a wonderful time. Found we both as improvisers were very different, but yet when we are playing ensemble stuff and playing together, it really works very well, and our sounds blend well. We think, and sort of from that, it was just. We had such a good time. It was like trying to keep the thing going. And then we got together and decided on some stuff for a first album and did that, had a little bit of success. So we decided to keep doing it. We, you know, did a second album, ended up doing a third. First two albums we did were basically a little bit like sort of one composition original from each of us, and then a lot of other tunes that we liked or picked to be on the album. And then finally the third album is totally original material, generated mostly from Ezra and myself, but also from everybody in the group, contributed something to the CD.
So and that's fairly recently out, the third one?
Or that not? Was in the last year and a half. We're sort of planning a fourth one now.
So if somebody wanted to get one of these, how would they go about it?
Two of them are available like in iTunes, like sort of your typical online sources. I think all three are available through Amazon as like CDs, but I mean downloadable there at iTunes and Amazon. And also, they could please come see us at the Iron Post tomorrow night, and we'll have some.
You'll
there
have
with
some
us.
There. Great, exactly. Well, you brought your trombones along. So what are we going to do together?
Well, actually, we're going to try and do a couple. One thing we've done on each CD is have just something that's just a duet, just without the rhythm section of the two of us. And on the first album, we did this. Ezra did a duet version of Dave Brubeck's Blue Rondo a la Turk. And the thing that's interesting about it is the duties keep tossing back and forth. Like one of us will do the bass line, the other will do the melody, then we'll flip it. You know, a couple bars later it flips. And the thing that was interesting that we did about this was we mixed it so that we were both right smack in the middle. So it was basically a mono mix. And the idea was that you sort of hopefully couldn't tell who was doing what. You know, we felt that good about our blend and stuff. And then actually the second thing we're going to do is a little tune that I wrote for our most recent album, a thing I called Ping Pong, because it sort of does the exact opposite. It accentuates us being at opposite sides of the room, like one of us on the left and one of us on the right. So it plays with that back and forth, just sort of the bouncing back and forth. And so you're purposely in that one trying not to have us be like melded into one. So.
And we actually, when Jim Pugh was on Live and Local some weeks ago, and we heard the recorded version of that, so it's going to be fun to hear that,
yeah,
that
we'll
live
around
right
with
now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, Jim Pugh and Eijiro Nakagawa here on Live and Local, playing live in Studio F here at WYLL FM. Thank you.
You'll have to come to the Iron Post to hear how it ends. And now this is ping pong.
Well, that was fun. A tune called Ping Pong. And which of you did you say wrote that one?
Oh, I wrote that one.
Okay, by Jim Pugh. Yeah. Heard here in Live and Local, right in our studio here on FM 90.9. And Eijiro Nakagawa, who did the arrangement of Rondo a la
Turk.
A la Turk. By Dave Brubeck.
Dave Brubeck, yeah.
Yeah. Heard here in Live and Local. And their band, E&J, is going to be playing at the Iron Post tomorrow night at 5 o'clock. Now, this is not the first two-trombone-fronted band
in the history
of jazz. Is this a common thing?
It's more common than you might think. Probably for most music consumers, it's not that common. But basically the first one, was a gentleman by the name of Kai Winding and J.J. Johnson. J.J. Johnson probably being the pinnacle, like the master of masters of jazz trombone over the years. But they had a duo that was very successful for a number of years. And at different points, there have been other people that have recorded in that context. I know Curtis Fuller and Slide Hampton did a CD together, or not a CD, but at that point it was a record back in those old days, did a record together. There have been a few people in more modern era that have done it. I know two young guys, Conrad Herwig and Steve Davis, did one together. I think a guy named Wycliffe Gordon and John Allred did one together. So in recent times, there's been a little bit more of that going on. I think we're probably the only ones that have done multiple recordings and sort of tried to keep it going. It's like a lot of these other collaborations happen one time and then everybody sort of went their separate ways. And we've actually tried to keep it alive.
Well, it's a great sound. I was kind of curious about it when I knew you were coming, and I was trying to imagine the sound. And then when I just now heard the band, it sounds so natural. It really is a great sound to have in front instead of usually the trombones are in the back.
Yep.
Of a band. if there might be a trumpet or a sax more likely would seem, or more commonly is the front man, so to speak. And then you might have a trombonist who does a solo now and then. Of course, Glenn Miller was a band leader, but that's a whole different kind of music as well.
Mm-hmm. And Glenn Miller, even though he was actually quite an excellent trombone player, because he had done like a lot of, for the band, he'd done session work and had been a recording artist. He didn't push himself forward as a soloist. It was all the arrangement and the control, the running of the band, all that kind of stuff, as opposed to Tommy Dorsey. I mean, if we're talking trombone players,
sure,
who the primary thing with Dorsey was his voice as the dominant solo voice on the band. So it was a little different take on the two styles.
Sure. And then you know, Benny Goodman, who was in obviously not a trombonist, but clarinet, he was very much a player. It seems like some of the band leaders led a little bit more, but as opposed to played.
Yeah. Yeah, it went, just trying to think. If you think even a little bit more modern, like Buddy Rich and Maynard Ferguson's band, that was about, yes, it was about the people in the band, but it was also about them as players, not so much writers. As you know, the sort of the different takes. Some of the band are writer composer driven bands, and others are soloist driven bands. If you look like Woody Herman's band, Woody was a vocalist and an okay soloist, but he'd never pushed himself forward, and it was basically about arrangers he would get. You know, the music was about the arrangers and about the other people in the band. But if you look at some of the other bands today, like Maria Schneider's band or Gordon Goodwin's, was it Big Fat Band, or the Fat Band out in L.A., it's like those are definitely driven by the composer leaders, composer, arranger, writer leaders.
Well, here we have a couple in our studio who are both. They're the front men, they're the leaders of the band, and they're the principal composers. And we have another tune of theirs from the band, E&J. I think we're going to hear Someday My Prince. That's what we have scheduled next. Will Come.
Yes.
Who wrote that tune? I'm trying to remember.
I should go back and look at the CD. I don't know. I'm.
You didn't write it, so it doesn't matter, right?
Well, yeah, it does matter.
Let's
just say it's from the Walt Disney songbook.
we'll go with that. Heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Well, we went and looked at the disc, and it was a tune by Frank Churchill, Someday My Prince Will Come. But we're having a debate here as to exactly what movie that was used in, which of the Disney films. So Jim Pugh just made an interesting offer. If you come to hear E&J, which is the band you just heard, at the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow night, and correctly write down the name of the presumably Disney film that was made famous by, we're having a debate, was it Sleeping Beauty or Cinderella or something we're forgetting about, they're going to offer a free CD. So there's a little incentive for you to
they have to call you.
Oh, they have to call me?
Yeah, I think
okay, there we go. You have
in,
to call
you
me.
You can tell me who it is.
You can call me at my desk phone and leave a message. It's 244-2619. The first person to correctly identify it, and we're going to look it up on Wikipedia or something to make sure that it's right, because Wikipedia, of course, is always right. 244-2619. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. We're having fun here with Jim Pugh and Eijiro Nakagawa, two wonderful trombonists, both classical and jazz guys. And They're the front men for this band, E&J, that's going to be playing at the Iron Post tomorrow night. Now, I was just asking as we were listening to the music whether the membership of the band stays consistent, and tell the folks what your answer to that was.
Well, it has been consistent for the recordings. We've used the same rhythm section in New York, same piano, bass, and drums. But when we travel around, it's just Ezra and myself going around. It's very rare that for budgetary reasons that we're able to. I mean, one little tour we did, we were able to take a pianist with us, but past that, it's always been just scraping by, you know, just enough to get us to where we're supposed to go and take care of that. So we've been dealing with a lot with like local rhythm sections, and the wonderful thing is that you find that there are really incredibly wonderful players pretty much everywhere, you know, and that's been a lot of fun.
And here at the U of I, you've got some tremendous people to draw from.
Yeah, we ended up like tonight, because we just did last two nights we played at the Jazz Showcase in Chicago, so it's actually this will be one of the more long-lived contained groups. We're going to use the same folks for that, with Joan Hickey, who's on the faculty here at the U of I and lives in Chicago.
Pianist.
We'll be playing piano. And her husband, actually Joel Spencer, who's been one of the stalwarts of the drum world in Chicago for many, many years, for wonderful session player and beautiful drummer. He's playing tomorrow night as well. And Larry Gray is going to be playing bass, who's also on the U of I faculty. So it's actually fun for me because I haven't I've been wanting to play with Larry, and just things I've done and our schedules never meshed. So this has been really sort of a lot of fun for us to be able to play with, actually with all of them. But you know, like I said, Larry and I have been trying to play together for a while. Finally
get to do it.
Finally have done it.
Ajiro, you've had some classical experience, as has Jim. What have you done in the classical, quote unquote, classical world of trombone playing?
It's tough to explain. It's what do you think? It's
well, I think that was really interesting, that Bach festival you just played.
Oh yeah, I just played it in Japan. It's May 3rd. It is the pretty big the classic festival in Tokyo. It's named the La Folle Journée. It's coming from France. It's it's been doing that festival over 30 years at Nantes, France, and the music director is named the Rune Mountain. It's the organized in also Japan. It's in Tokyo. They have already 5 years in Tokyo, and this year the theme is Bach, and I played it. The Viola da Gamba tune, the Sonata 3.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I played it with Makoto Ozoni. Ozoni is one of the really famous jazz pianists, as well as he's been started the classic stuff with many orchestras. And I played the Makoto and me to play the Sonata 3. It's with some improvised thing on the last third movement, and I really enjoyed it. It's a really tough tune because it's the Viola da Gamba tune. It's going to be really high range for the trombone, and no rest, no breath point.
That's right, because really string instruments don't have to breathe.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Either of you can answer this question. Do you play differently or change your sound when you're doing classical versus jazz, or the other way around?
Basically no. But at some point I changed the instrument, a large bore, switched to the small bore when I play the jazz. But it's technically it's mostly the same. Just to change the feel.
It's more just the musical change than the sound change.
Yeah,
I think that's the same way. Well, even within, you're just talking about, like, say, stylistic conventions. It's like even within jazz and different eras and different types of jazz music, you'll approach differently style-wise or how you place the time or that kind of stuff. And when you're doing actually classical music, technically from if you're playing like the Mozart Requiem or if you're playing L'Histoire du Soldat, it's like you're going to be approaching them differently. Even though they're both classical music, stylistically there's going to be a different approach. So it's, I think you're always melding your style, hopefully to fit the music at hand.
Sure. Why don't we have you play another tune together?
Good idea.
What did you pick?
We were just going to play something simple because we don't have really any more written out duets. So we were just going to play a little bit of Autumn Leaves.
Okay, sounds great. Jim Pugh and Eijiro Nakagawa here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. People who can improvise just always amaze me. You know, they're not looking at any music. They just picked up the horns. And Jim, you pointed at Eijiro, meaning what? Right before
just,
you started
to tell
play.
Just to go ahead and take the pickups to the tune, to have him start the tune.
Okay.
Because that's the whole thing. It's like, okay, how do we start this? Usually.
But then you, I mean, he knew he was going to do the tune, and you started writing on at the same time. Now, how did you know what note you were going to play?
Well, because the first chord is a C minor 7 chord, so I'm probably going to play something that's going to relate to that. He's going to be doing the melodies, so basically I'll be playing the bass function, like the underneath. And then what we were doing, we traded back and forth. And the second 8 measures, I took the melody, and Eijiro started playing the
bass.
And
did you have a signal to each other that at some point that was going to happen, or it just happened?
It just happened. You sort of sense where the other. Well, that was the thing where I was talking about that first gig we did at the Blue Note, where we just felt this like simpatico, you know,
yeah.
It just we were on the same wavelength about those kind of things. And when we do something like that, it's like we don't have to really pre-arrange it. It's like we are sort of sensitive, hopefully sensitive, at listening to each other and sort of sensing where the other person's going to go next.
Well, and your sounds blend so well, too, that when you played earlier the ping pong tune and whatever the other tune, I forget the name of.
A Blue Rondo.
Blue Rondo, right. I was watching and listening, and still getting confused as to who was doing what, which parts at that point.
Imagine how we feel. Imagine how confused we are.
I can't imagine. I can't imagine. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. Support for today's broadcast comes in part from the Music Shop and Pro Sound Center, now in their new location at 27 East Market View Drive in Market View Plaza, Champaign. The Music Shop offers private lessons on all instruments in their brand new studios. They also provide a complete band and orchestra instrument repair and service department. On tomorrow's show, we should have a lot of fun also. It's actually sort of a preview for a barn dance, which is intended to raise funds for the 2009 Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival, which is happening in the late summer. Or early fall. So we'll have some performers with us, Matt Torino and Ben Smith, playing fiddles. We'll also have a caller for the dance, Scott Meyer. And we won't actually have any dancers, so we won't have too much clomping going on. But they're going to be on the show doing some playing. And also, this was a bit of a surprise, just came up yesterday. There's a country musician, singer, and guitarist, Jake McVeigh, who was going to be in our area doing some sort of what he calls Pay It Forward. It's on his Pay It Forward tour, where he's giving a lot of free shows in nursing homes and other places just to give back for some of his success. So Jake McVeigh is going to make a bit of an appearance on the show and do some playing as well. So tomorrow should be full. Should be a great Friday. And we've got another tune from Ian Jay to preview tomorrow night's performance at the Iron Post. This is called Dodgers.
This one's a little unique. We had Jay Lenhart, who's been a friend of mine for a long time, is a wonderful bass player in New York and a great songwriter and singer. So since he was going to be playing on the session, we decided to do a tune of his that he sings on. So this isn't one we'll be able to do tomorrow night, but it's so much fun because it's a story about how it took him a long time in his relationship with his wife to realize that she grew up right next to Dodger Stadium. And it's like all the jealousy he has about the fact that she grew up that close to. But it's a very cute song.
So Dodgers, played by Ian Jay. And again, the singer here is?
Jay Lenhart.
Jay Lenhart, heard on Live and Local.
Broke it to me gently over breakfast. She told me as we sipped our tea. I sat there dumbfounded at what she was telling me. How come this subject never came up? How come this subject stayed concealed? The woman who I married saw the Dodgers play, she only lived 2 miles away. Saw the Dodgers play, she could see them every day. Saw the Dodgers play at Ebbets Field.
Tune called Dodgers, played by the band Ian Jay here on FM 90.9. The show's called Live and Local, and we've really been privileged this hour to have the two frontmen for ENJ. They are ENJ, Eijiro Nakagawa and Jim Pugh. Jim Pugh on the faculty at the University of Illinois here in the jazz department. Eijiro Nakagawa visiting from Japan. Eijiro, are you resident in Japan, or are you kind of floating around, or are you?
Recently, I lived in Tokyo. I lived in the New York from 2001 to 2005. I have a green card, so I
So you can come and go.
Permanent resident alien.
Resident alien. I love that term. I always expect somebody to have, you know, a little antenna coming out of their head or something like that. Well, it's really been a treat to have you with us, and I hope that hope you have a great gig tomorrow night, and we've helped to get some more folks out. I mean, it's a small space anyway, but it's a great place to hear music. The Iron Post presents a lot of great bands of many different kinds, and Ian Jay there tomorrow night at 5 o'clock from 5 to 7. And
five to eight, actually. You're going to go to eight.
Yeah. Oh, great. So even more of them you can hear. and plenty more than you just had here. This is just a teaser, but it's been a lot of fun. Thanks to both of you for coming in.
Thank you, Kevin, very much.
Have a great show. So I'm going to give you a bit of a calendar of a few other things going on in just a couple of minutes. And we'll go out with another performance by Ian Jay. This is called Sea Song. So here are a few other performances you could go hear. Tomorrow night, the Laramie Project, you can go see this. We talked about yesterday on the show, is at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts. That's being put on by the McLean County Diversity Project. That's at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, one-time show. Oberon the Possum King is at the Dockside Cafe at Kickapoo Landing in Kickapoo State Park in Oakwood tomorrow night at 5:30. The Rantoul Theater Group is presenting the show called Pirates and Petticoats in the Grissom Hall Theater in Rantoul. That's tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. The Bement Country Opry is at the Opry Building in Bement tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Booker T. Washington, well, those things are over. We'll skip that. The Dan Tominski Band is going to be playing at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts Saturday night at 7:30. The Urbana Park District Youth Summer Theater is holding auditions for Sound of Music on Saturday from 10 to 12, then callbacks later on. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. This afternoon will be mostly sunny with some fair weather, cloudiness developing, the high around 70. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy, the low 53. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with some showers and thunderstorms, the high 76. News headlines are next. Julie Amacher has more music at 106. It's WYLL 90.9 FM and HD Urbana. Operating translators, W293 AF Danville and W266 AF Urbana.